I'm gonna jig me up a walleye from the bottom of the lake, and I'm not gonna tell you what I use for bait. I'm a jigger. I'm the best jigger.
Welcome
around
to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, who's in our other studio a little bit south of town, down in the beautiful city of La Paz. And you know, we're just talking about Baja. Of course, you know, that's where Grizz lives. So, and, you know, and we like it down there. Grizz, I'm going to mention this a couple times throughout the show because we've got a trip over to see Chucky at Van Warmer Resorts in East Cape of Baja, which is about when you go to fly into the airport, instead of going 30 minutes south, you go about an hour north to East Cape, which is one of the finest fishing areas in the world. And we have a trip put together for arriving November 2nd. And listen to this. 4 nights accommodations, 2 days cruiser fishing, you know, and basically, you know, does not include meals, but we've got a meal package, very easy, for $495.
Man, you can't beat that, can you?
Oh, man, it's incredible.
I mean, that's a giveaway. You can't even fish one day.
Well, we'll talk
in most places
exactly,
in the world for that, John.
Exactly. Not that kind of fishing, for sure. Anyway, we'll talk about
any
it some more.
Any kind of fishing, buddy.
There you go. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But, you know, if the people, best thing to do is people just to contact me direct at, you know, john@fishtalkradio.com. And we'll make sure that we make it worth their while. We have a friend of yours on the line, Grizz, that we'd like to talk to a little bit about. We have Steve Hartigan from McCoy Fishing Line that's joining in with us. Now, McCoy Fishing Tackle, they make a lot of different products, but they also make their own line, which would be the, you know, normally what we call a mono, which is, and theirs is I'll let him explain to it, a blend. And then, of course, they've got the woven microfiber spectra, and also they make fluorocarbon. So I think last time we had them on, we talked about the micro braid. But I think today, why don't we talk a little bit about fluorocarbon? I know that you know something about that, and I know that Steve does. Hey, Steve, welcome.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for having McCoy Fishing back on the air. I enjoyed my time last time, and yeah, let's talk about fluorocarbon.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Steve, before we get too far along, the connection we have is not that good. So I don't know if it's a cell phone and you're out on a boat or what it is. But
I'd like to hold on 1 second. Let's keep trying. Yes, I am out. I wish I was on a boat fishing, but I'm not doing that right now. So,
okay.
I don't know if the reception's any better.
Okay. Okay, no, we can do that, but we're going to keep you on for a little while. Is there another number that you'd like us to call you back on?
Yeah, go ahead and try the landline number. I'll be back in my office in like
okay.
2 minutes.
All right, well, Grizz and I are going to talk, and Richard's going to call you right back because we want to make sure that we hear every word that you've got to say. So just pick up the other phone in just 1 second, and hopefully we'll have you right back on. Okay, Grizz?
I can hardly hear anything he was saying, John.
I know. We're going to try again. I think we got his cell phone, and he was on the back of a motorcycle or something.
Well, probably.
But anyway, we're gonna try a different number. Fluorocarbon, of course, is what we want to talk about, and obviously Steve is going to be giving us some more specific information. But when do you use fluorocarbon?
I use fluorocarbon. The most I use it for is when I'm bottom fishing. You know, I like to, those big pargos, I like to use, if I can get away with it, I like to use 80-pound test. But if I can, if they're being real picky, I'll use a 40.
Right.
You know, fluorocarbon, it lets the bait move more freely. It's not as stiff.
Huh.
And I don't know because I don't have fish eyes, and people say fish can see and do that.
Right.
But I don't know that, John, but it seems to work better than regular mono.
Well, we do have Steve back on the line, and I think we've got a little bit better connection.
Well, I hope we do. Thanks, and sorry about
that. Oh, no, this is much
better.
Oh,
yeah, I can hear you, Steve.
Yeah, there we go, there we go. Sorry about that, everybody, but this is too important to miss anything.
No problem.
Steve, one of the things... that I have found about fluorocarbon, and Grizz will attest to this, is that when you're fishing in, you know, green water, mucky water, probably doesn't make all that much difference. But when you have, especially in Baja, you know, where you could, you know, you could see a coin in 30 feet of water, that, you know, that's, you know, the line is highly visible. And if you're, you know, as the Grizz had mentioned, bottom fishing. So if you're after grouper or, you know, something along those lines, you really need fluorocarbon for a couple of different reasons. And besides being, I'm not sure what the term is that it doesn't reflect light. So give us a quick idea about that.
Well, you're referring to a refractive index, which is
good. I'm glad you said that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's crystal clear, and actually, if you were to hold up a spool of that compared to, say, just a like our copolymer extra clear, you would notice a difference right away.
Mm-hmm.
But that's inherent in the properties that make up fluorocarbon. We make an American-made fluorocarbon, which is why we got into that little segment of the industry about 3 years ago. We use high-quality, what they call PVDF, which makes it, you know, very clear, very supple, if you will, limp. Because one of the problems and qualities of fluorocarbon that's inherent in the product is that it's generally, especially
very
in the
stiff,
heavier lines,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
a stiffer line to use.
Mm-hmm.
But to back up your question, one of the main properties and the reason people like it is its clarity. It's mm-hmm. it's virtually invisible in the water.
Well, it's more abrasive resistant, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. Yes, because of the chemicals used to make it up, it is a heavier duty line, if you will, more abrasion resistant. But one of the things people don't realize is if you nick that line, it also breaks easier. So.
Oh.
So two things. One, if you're nicking that line, especially if you're in tournament fishing, mm-hmm. you need to make sure you're switching that out or cutting above the nick.
Oh.
Okay.
Well,
the other thing, mm-hmm. John, that I'll throw out there that's important, and I learned this. We sponsor Jason Williamson on an Elite Series. He started using our fluoro. He's won two Elite Series events with our line. But it was he that recommended that you tie the knot with a double clinch knot. People tend to use a Palomar knot all the time,
mm-hmm.
and what happens is if you're throwing heavier baits, heavier
mm-hmm.
lures, that knot tends to burn into itself, and once that fluorocarbon gets that first nick going, you're going to lose a fish, and you're going to lose the lure.
You know, one of the first times that I ever tried fluorocarbon, I think I was fishing for salmon, and I got a hookup, and it was gone. And I pulled the line in, and there was just a little curl thing on the end that, you know, that it broke at the... at the hook. So there are some knots, and normally, you know, Palomar is one of the easiest knots to tie, so that's
correct.
Usually what I would use.
I got a question for you, Steve.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't know this to be true or false, but is floral, is it like a style? Is it like everybody needs it, but really you don't? Is it like a fashion of wearing a bonnet appears to a hat? Because I fish, you know, I just got back from Cabo last night, and I'm headed fishing giant groupers tomorrow. Tell me, is it really necessary? I know you'll be honest. I know you make it. You like to sell it. But is it really something that you got to have?
Okay, there's the group of people out there. I run into them at shows all the time. They swear by it. It's the only thing they'll ever use. I get a whole other group of people that have trouble handling it. It's a tougher line to handle if you're used to fishing a mono or a copolymer, which is what we make. However, do you really need it? Well, if it's a high-pressured area, maybe super, super clear water, yeah, there can be an argument made that that line will help you catch more fish. And there have been tests that have proven that. If you're fishing, like John said earlier, murkier waters, maybe not quite so clear. No, I tell guys at my shows to use the line they're most comfortable throwing. Don't make fishing a job. You know, don't make it so mm-hmm. hard on yourself.
Steve, we're just about out of time, but we want to make sure that people know who you are, what you do, and how to get in touch with McCoy Fishing Line to get more information.
Yeah, real quick, McCoyFishingLine.com. Real quick, we make the Super Spectra braid, a copolymer, and we make our fluorocarbons, all American-made products.
Great. So that's McCoyFishingLine.com.
That is correct, sir.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you coming on. Grizz, why don't you hang around there for a couple of minutes? We're going to come back, and we're going to be talking to Fishhound and doing some fly fishing for bass. So you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort, the Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja, on the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at Costa Baja Resort.
It's all for the rod, the jolly, jolly rod. All for the rod and the tackle. I spent all my tin on this fishing boat I'm in, as across the mighty water I do travel. Yeah, it's all for the rod.
All right, welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border, the world famous Grizz, because he's syndicated in 19 countries. And
19 countries, John, our shows now.
Wow. Well, you
and then on the internet, I mean, we're all over the world. You know, with the new technology, it's just there's no limit.
It really is amazing what's happening. And speaking about new technology, there's a lot of people, you know, in the last 10, 15 years that have come up with websites geared toward anglers to give them information. But I think that there's one and only one that's really taken a professional approach to it, where you go on the site and you just don't see pictures of dead fish. You get all the information you want from anywhere in the United States and maybe internationally. We have on the line with us, we have John from Fishhound, and it's fishhound.com. Is that right, John?
That's correct. How's it going, John? How's it going, Grizz?
Oh, we're just having such a good time.
Doing good, John.
But, John, give us a, you know, this has been a very, you know, of course, on the West Coast, we haven't followed too much on the East Coast, but it's been a very, actually, a phenomenal year in a lot of ways. We've got some on the West Coast.
I wouldn't call it crazy, John.
But, but, you know, we've had some really warm water, obviously, in Baja and all down the California coast. But to give us a kind of a quick overview of what you've seen so far this year.
You know, it's been a little bit warmer this year. It's increased the amount of fishing time for everybody this summer. Warm weather is just, it's perfect. You know, I can't think of an area in the country where I've heard some complaints about how the fishing is. It's been a good year all around for everybody.
Now, when the reports that you do, you've got, I guess, a network of guides and landings, you know, that give regular reports. Actually, we've got to get Grizz on there, too.
We sure do.
They never call me. They don't want to know what's happening.
Well, it doesn't
here.
Work that way, Grizz, but we're going to get you set up so you can start doing the La Paz reports for Fishhound.
I left a few messages with his assistant, but they said he was pretty busy. So,
well, he doesn't have an assistant.
That's right. I want to know who this assistant is. I need one.
But anyway, it has been an interesting year, and I don't want to pin you down with any specific questions, John. But do you have any observations that might be of interest for anywhere in the U.S. and Canada that things are kind of unusual?
Well, you know, like you mentioned, John, I have at my disposal over 2,000 pro staff members on our site, and that's made up of guide services, tackle shops, boat captains, outfitters, good-looking guys like the Grizz.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not one of them. I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah. All of these guys are on the water. They're experts in their own particular bodies of water and areas. So they have been gracious enough to share that information with our Fishhound members 2 to 3 times a week. So you're getting real-time fishing reports across the country. And it's just so convenient to have that in one location on one website. Taking a look at my dashboard for today, there's a couple bodies of water that I wanted to touch on and,
sure.
and give you guys a little report on. In Northern California, out of Bodega Bay, the offshore, shallow water rock cod trips have brought back limits of bottom fish and near limits of lings. Last week's trip had two shy of limits for 15, and Tuesday's trip had limits for a similar number.
Mm-hmm.
Lings range from 10 pounds to 25 pounds.
Wow.
These are big fish. They're fun to hook on and give a good fight. Anglers are coming off the boats with sacks weighing 60 to 70 pounds. That's a good day.
Yeah.
Your arms are going to be tired. You know, the warm water is off Cordell Banks, and tuna trips are being successful as well.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar area out of Monterey Bay, anglers are having excellent days out on the water also. The weather's been beautiful enough to see many, many jumpers of tuna on the grounds. One trip, anglers had landed 37 albacore and even landed two skipjack tuna as well.
Hmm.
Lots of fish out there. Not a lot of biters, but it's really exciting when you know that there are fish in the water.
Yeah, it kind of makes you want to fish. If you don't think they're in the water, you don't want to go fishing.
There you go. Well, Bodega Bay, to me, that's one of the prime salmon areas, but I guess it's a little late in the year for that, or is it?
It is. Right now, people are mostly focused on those lings.
Mm-hmm.
Moving a little up north out to the St. Mary's River out of Ontario, Canada. Walleye fishing slowed down a little bit in Rayber Bay. The smallmouth bass action was very good on both sides of the Round Island. Anglers are jigging two baits in 6 to 8 feet of water around the rock piles. Some are also looking for yellow perch around Lime Island, but as of today, no fish were reported yet.
Mm-hmm.
And anglers need to use extreme caution because the water levels remain low along the entire St. Mary's watershed, so be careful out there.
Okay. So that means there's stuff that normally is not exposed that can come up and get you.
Correct.
Okay.
But that's also a great way to find structure when
yeah.
there's no water you, covering it.
Yeah, when you run into it. That's John, we appreciate, you know, that overall report because, you know, we don't really have a lot of places that we can go to, you know, to get information that covers the wide area that you guys cover. So we appreciate that. And real quickly again, no matter where you are, and obviously it's, you know, anywhere in most of North America, because we're going to be adding some, we're going to help you add some more people in Costa Rica and Baja and Alaska. If you're looking for a report, it's fishhound.com.
That's correct.
And by the way, you know, if you sign up for that, I don't know how you do it, but you've got this kind of a situation where you get a lot of free stuff. So.
Yeah, excellent point there. We are one of the largest fishing clubs on the planet. We have a gear testing program that lets you select the gear you want to test.
Okay.
There's no other gear testing program out there like it.
Right. Okay, John, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day, and we'll let you get back to, you know, your family and your fishing and your barbecuing. Yeah, right now, we're going to go to Jason Grubb, who is a fishing guide for, he works out of a private, I guess, kind of a dude ranch, Alisal Ranch up in Santa Barbara County. And he is the one that if you want to go fishing there, you got to go with him. But as far as trout fishing, bass fishing, and he also does his own guiding trips. But let's go with Jason right now. And Jason, I don't know what we should talk about today. How about, you know, I know that you do trout and almost any kind of freshwater fishing and even surf fishing. But let's talk a little bit about bass. And can you catch bass with a fly rod?
Oh, you bet. And it's a good time of year to do it. Once we get out of this summer season and things start to calm down on the lakes a little bit, good top water can start up in the fall. So this is when a lot of my fly fishing clients give me a call to go out and hit them on top water. And it's a good time. When this water starts to cool off a little bit, these fish will start to get active again. It slows
mm-hmm.
down a little bit towards the end of summer, and then I love the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be throwing damselfly patterns, dragonfly, frog patterns, early in the morning and late in the evening, and do do pretty well with it.
Well, Jason, when you, most people think about bass fishing, of course, it's tournament bass fishing, and these guys have bait casters, you know, that they're throwing lures or worms or, you know, even frogs. But, you know, you don't really see, you know, or hear a lot about fly fishing for bass, but that's becoming more popular. What you mentioned some of the stuff that you do. But give us some ideas on if somebody wants to give it a shot, what kind of equipment and what should they be throwing?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing with fly fishing for bass, and you're right, it is really, it's getting a lot more popular. And my niche has been fly fishing for bass. So usually somewhere about a six or seven weight rod works fine, an eight weight for the really big topwater stuff. But I'll tell you what, as far as topwater fishing goes on some of these lakes where these fish are seeing the same bait over and over again, from the plastic hollow frogs to spooks to poppers,
mm-hmm.
you get out there with a fly rod and the action, the way the fly lands on the water looks different than all the guys that are out there throwing conventional rods and conventional baits.
Okay.
So I'll tell you, it's a pretty big advantage when you get out there if you know what you're doing in the right fly.
Well, now you also do guided trips, don't you?
I do.
Okay, and you got anything you want to talk about?
Well, I do, as far as my overseas stuff, well, I've got, I guide in California quite a bit, Lake Atchuma, and then you mentioned Alisal Ranch, which is private water. And then we also go down to Mexico, to Lake El Salto, and we fly fish down there for monster bass.
Well, Grizz's ears just perked up. We've only got less than a minute, but let's talk about El Salto real quick.
Yeah, I heard Grizz is the El Salto bass slayer down there.
Yeah, catch a bunch of them on the fly rock.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Last trip I took down there, I caught 3 8-pounders on 3 casts on fly rod off the top. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I guess one of the things about it is because of its location, it gets very little pressure.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows what a fly rod is down there, John.
They're all 20-pound tests. Yeah, there's only a couple of lodges on the lake that are phenomenal, and it's a huge lake, tons of bass, great feed, and constant warm weather, so these fish are just growing to be
feed. Well, you know, that sounds pretty exciting. How about you, the Grizz, and myself, see if we can put something together for next year?
Let's do it. I'm putting a bunch of trips together right now for my clients. We're going down there in January and February if anybody wants to join.
Oh, great.
Count me on one of them. I'll be over there.
All right. Well, we got to go, Jason, but real quickly, how do we get in touch with you in 10 seconds?
My website is breakwatertours.com.
Breakwatertours.com. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for coming on. Grizz, stick around. We're going to be coming back, and we've got some more stuff to cover, and we're going to be back with you on Fish Talk Radio momentarily.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real-world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Cutthroat, northern pike, largemouth, speckled trout, dorado, coho, flying fish, walleye, bonefish, sunfish, codfish, monkfish, shark, barracuda, tarpon, hammerhead, bluefin, tuna, great white mackerel, haddock, pollock.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we're having fun with the Grizz. Right now, we're going to have some fun with Mandy up at Lake Shasta. Yeah, this is the time of the year that it's probably a great time because the weather's great. And have you chased away all those pesky tourists?
Yeah, I took them all out.
Yeah, there you go. Now we get to have some fun and take over the lake, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us an idea. First of all, I think most people know, you know, where Lake Shasta is. It's because it's, you know, it's, there's Mount Shasta, and it's just, I guess it's just right north of Redding. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful area, because you're surrounded by mountains. You got a beautiful lake, and it really is one of the most beautiful places in the United States. So other than the natural beauty, and you know, you don't, you know, obviously there's, you know, fall is kind of coming, and I'm sure there's some trees that are turning colors, but the water is still pretty warm, and I bet the fishing's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, fishing's good. There is one arm that gets pretty low, but that's where you find all the trout guys at, down there in the McLeod arm of the lake.
Mm-hmm. And, well, not only do you have the Lake Shasta right there, there's a lot of areas close by that you can fish different rivers and streams besides just fishing the lake.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go up there and, you know, make camp and get one of those cabins or lodges on the lake and fish the lake and go walk down to the dock and get on one of your boats. Or, you know, you can take a drive for a few minutes and try out some of the close by streams.
Oh, yeah. McLeod River is a really popular place, too.
Oh, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best fishing rivers in anywhere. It's very famous.
Oh, yeah. We just had a guy come in today, though, and I picked his brain. He went catfishing and after dark, and he used hot dogs. I had never thought of hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He used hot dogs for bait, Mandy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that just goes to show, a darn old catfish will just eat anything, won't they?
Yeah. I think you
can. I mean, I used to use chicken liver, and I hate getting my hands dirty, so hot dogs would probably be the thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you have a snack, too.
Yeah,
just chop it up and eat one and fish with one, and eat one and fish with one. I guess, and it's because, I mean, it doesn't work. The chicken liver, it really sticks in your teeth when you try to make snacks out of that.
Okay. Mandy, give us a quick idea what's the bite is looking like right now. Do you have are the trout turning on? You still got bass, and you've also got some. What all do you have in the lake? Well, you got almost everything. You never know what you're going to get when you put the line in.
Right. Well, down the McLeod arm, they're catching rainbow trout, brown trout. And then the Sacramento arm, they're doing, they're getting like large bass, largemouth bass, smallmouth bass.
Okay. And Mandy, would you give us some information on, you know, how people can find out about what's happening at Lake Shasta and what they can do to maybe stop by and visit with you?
Yeah. If they get on ShastaTrinityCamping.com.
Okay.
They can find out like what boat ramps are
right.
available around Shasta Lake that they can use and campgrounds as well.
Yeah, and Lake Trinity is, what's that, about 20-30 minutes from you?
Yeah, give or take. It just depends on what campground you go to.
Okay.
Lewiston Lake's a little bit further up.
Okay. So that's Shasta Trinity.
Camping.com.
Okay, CastaTrinityCamping.com. And, you know, this is a perfect time of the year to get up there because there's a little bit more room and the weather's perfect. It's still warm, but, you know, it's not oppressive. So.
No, yeah, we've been in the 90s, and then at night it's been getting down into the mid-60s, so not too bad.
Perfect. Okay, Mandy, we really appreciate you coming on and tell us a little
no
bit
problem.
More about Lake Shasta. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll have to come eat some hot dogs with the
crew. There you go.
Yeah, we'll do some hot dogging.
Okay, there you
go.
Okay.
All right, bye, guys.
Gotcha.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Mandy. Okay. Grizz, we're
going to... Well, John, when we go on hot dog fishing...
Well, you know what?
If you use a foot-long hot dog, will you catch a bigger catfish?
Well, you know what? You know, Mandy's a... I've met Mandy, and she's a very attractive young lady. But if she's never heard of using hot dogs for bait, she must be pretty young.
Well, yeah, I won't go there, John.
Okay. No, that seems to me that was like, you know, there's, what did you use? Cheese balls and or hot dogs and
what we used to use when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You'd take liver. You go to the store, the butcher shop, get leather, and then get some hose. Women hose, remember that? Put the liver in the hose, tie it up, and put that on the hook so the liver would stay on the hook.
Oh, interesting. So fishing with women's nylons. Okay, Grizz.
Yeah.
All right,
and
Grizz.
Then, you know, if it was really Grizz. Nice if you had a woman with you. You Grizz. Could take the nylons right
Grizz,
off and use them fresh.
I'm not going to let anybody know about their story. So right now, what I'd really like to do is talk to Eric, who is a premier fly fishing guide. And also
I'm wearing his hat right now, if you believe that or not, John.
Really?
Yep, I've got his hat. He sent me a hat a year ago, and I'm wearing it at this moment.
Cool.
Hey, Grizz.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, Grizz. Pretty good, man. Doing well.
Eric, you've been kind of a busy guy, and you know we'll mention real quick that we know that you have... you've kind of gone online with your products, and instead of having a brick and mortar store, you've gone to the like everybody else. You know, you've expanded into the internet.
Right. Yeah, and that actually it's kind of nice because it gives me a little more time to get out and fish now. So I'm happy and business is good. So yeah, as long as I can get out and fish, that makes it even better.
Mm-hmm. And give us a quick report or some ideas now. You know, we talked to Jason Grubb, which you probably know, that is, we're talking about fly fishing for bass. And, of course, you can fly fish for anything. I know you fish the surf, you fish for bass. But why don't you give us some quick ideas about people that are interested in learning to fly fish for trout?
Oh, yeah. Doug. First thing is not to feel intimidated. I know fly fishing has come a long way. We can pretty much fly fish for just about any freshwater species or saltwater species. So, you know, we got some great trout fishing going on right now. Sierra fishing, we're getting up for the fall fishing is great this time of year starting. And if you're thinking about getting into it, it's fairly easy to get into. You know, we can catch bass, we can catch trout. I know guys that catch catfish with fly rods. I mean, it's all there, it's all available. We're just using sinking lines to get down to where the fish are. So it's not just throwing a dry fly in a creek. It's it's all the above. We can pretty much do anything with a fly rod that we can with conventional equipment.
Well, you know, it is becoming more and more popular. And of course, one of the great things about fishing or fly fishing is, if you're going to be doing it, you're in a beautiful spot, and that's the number one reason to go out there is to be able to enjoy it. But give us some tips on if somebody wants to go out. Personally, I'm not that good, so if I'm trying to throw a line and there's trees behind me, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
Give us some ideas on what you would recommend.
Well, it's all about practice. I really recommend if depending on where you live, there's fly shops in every state. There's you can go onto the online and go onto the Federation of Fly Fishers, and they actually list all the certified fly casters listed throughout the state.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's good to learn from somebody who's certified. But with the internet these days, there's a lot of great instructional videos on YouTube, and this is something you can do in your backyard, on your own time. But really, you got to get out there and just get on the water. That's where you really learn. Every mm-hmm. time you get out there and hit the water, you're learning something new. Even myself, I've been doing this for almost a little over 30 years, and every time I go out, I'm always learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, if you weren't learning something every time you fished, it wouldn't be fun.
Exactly. Yep. Well said.
Well, I know that that guides that specialize in particular waters, they know the water to the point where, they can take a look and say, "See that rock over there? Well, right past that and go up 10 feet, you're going to catch a fish." But, most people don't have the opportunity to do that, and especially if you're, even for a guide like you that's fishing new waters, you cannot have that local knowledge. But
oh, yeah.
Is there any particular things that people should be thinking about when they want to go try and catch fish?
Yeah. Yeah, well, like you said, if they're going to a new area, a place they're not familiar with, I highly recommend hiring a guide for a day, or a few hours, if possible. There's a lot of knowledge that these guys pick up, you know, being on that water on a daily basis. If not, it's always good to go into a fly shop and ask questions, or even, you know, ask fishermen and locals what's going on. They're okay. More than likely going to give
well,
you.
Well, Eric, we're about out of time, but why don't you give us some quick information how people can get in touch with you and maybe some of the products that you've got online.
Yeah. The easiest way is www.artfulangler.com.
Artfulangler.com. Okay.
Yeah, that's the easiest way, and I'll be glad to give out any information, casting information, fly information.
Perfect.
Yep.
Eric, we appreciate that. That's artfulangler.com.
Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Hey, Grizz, we're going to have to go, but before I do, I want to mention again, we have a trip November 2nd to the 6th to East Cape, which is a phenomenal area to fish, and we have a phenomenal price of $495, which includes 4 nights accommodation, fish cleaning, fishing gear, 2 days cruiser fishing. So please get in touch with me at fishtalkradio.com. That's John at fishtalkradio.com, because we've got a couple rooms we need to fill up, so let me know. Grizz, you stay tuned, and hopefully we'll be talking to you real soon.